from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Good morning again, friends. I forgot to welcome someone today. Not only am I pinch hitting today, but we have a guest playing the organ, and I ask you to join with me in welcoming our guest organist today, Judy Mahone. I got to hear her warm up her fingers, and it was outstanding, as you've already heard. Well, our scripture lesson for the day, for my message, comes to us from the book of Joshua. Yes, there's a book of Joshua, way toward the front of the Bible, and I'll be reading from the 9th chapter, verses 11 to 15. Now, I want to set this up a little bit with you and let you know that when Moses died, after he had led all the Israelites to the land of milk and honey, but he himself was not allowed to enter in, it was Joshua who led the Israelites. And it was Joshua that, yes, led the Israelites in battle many times, and each time quashed their enemy, and he was able to establish their residence on this land. Except today, in the 9th chapter, some neighbors are fearing that they too will be hurt. And so they're playing a trick on Joshua. And so let's see how that trick goes. Joshua 9, 11 to 15. "So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey. Go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Come now, make a treaty with us. Here is our bread. It was warm when we took it from our houses as our food for the journey. On the day we set out to come to you, but now, see, it is dry and moldy. These wineskins were new when we filled them, and see, they are burst. And these garments and sandals of ours are now worn out from a very long journey.' So the leaders partook of their provisions and did not ask direction from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, guaranteeing their lives by a treaty. And the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them." This is the word of God for us today. All of us have sung the song, haven't we? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. We all know that. We even may know some hand signals that go with that, signifying that the walls came tumbling down. We've sung the song many times, but Joshua is known much more for much more than just knocking down the walls at Jericho. What most of us do not know is that Joshua was a great leader among the Israelites. He prayed to God, God spoke to him and told him what to do, and when he did what God told him what to do, he was always victorious. Things always went just as he would have them. He was a great army general, but even more important, he led the army as God told him to do. Today's lesson is very unusual. People who were not Jews, but lived near the Israelites, knew what they had done to everybody who had lived nearby. They quashed them, they killed them, they put them out of existence totally, and now this one community is scared of Joshua and the Israelites. And so they're going to play a trick. And they're going to tell Joshua that instead of telling Joshua they live nearby, they're going to tell him they have come a long, long way. And they take with them moldy bread, wineskins that are already burst, their oldest clothes and their most worn-out sandals, and they speak to Joshua. And one of the key words, as another translation says, is Joshua did not consult with God. And Joshua made the deal. Joshua made the agreement with these people, and the whole congregation swore that they would not hurt them. They knew how Joshua could hurt them. And Joshua was tricked. But Joshua did not consult with God. Do you know anyone today that needs to consult with God? We are told more than a few times in the book of Joshua that God directed Joshua and the Israelite army. And whenever Joshua followed directions, the Israelites won the day, protected the land, and God cared for the Israelites. But on this day, we're told Joshua did not consult with God. And we learn a few verses later that Joshua and the Israelites had been lied to. They had led to be believed these lies, that Joshua had made a mistake. It is not hard to see how this might happen in our world. A humble man, we see this all the time in our world. A humble man is elected to a elected office, wins by a high percentage of votes, is reelected and reelected and reelected, and finally no longer feels that he is accountable to anyone. He's above accountability. And no longer does he need to consult with God or anyone. He can do as he wishes. Have you seen this happen lately? We live in a day when more people need to consult with God about much more than what we are doing these days. Fewer and fewer people in our country are going to church Our world is wrestling with concerns we have never before been confronted with. Life and death situations seem to be cropping up before us all the time, and we are depending on our own knowledge to answer the issues that come to us. Recently, I was visiting another congregation. An elder of the congregation and I were talking about something at the end of church this day, and I knew that I was talking to a person who was quite a businessman in the community, had a large business in the community, and he closed the conversation by saying something very curious to me. He said, "By building my income, I can be more independent and have more options." Well, the conversation had started just right. We were talking about God's church and its place in the community, and it ended in a curious fashion where this elder was telling me he was looking for options. Not to follow God, but options. And he knew that if he gained financially, he would have more options in life, and indeed, he was bragging about his independence, and I think especially his independence from God. But isn't this what all of us seek? Is God in our life? God, that we might be dependent upon God. Luke tells us in the 10th chapter of his gospel a story about 70 people who want to do ministry like Jesus. And they ask Jesus, they tell Jesus, "We want to do this too." And Jesus sits down and teaches them what needs to be done. I call this the first seminary class ever taught. He tells the 70 to carry no money, carry no walking stick, don't even carry a second shirt, he tells them. He tells them, don't take anything with you, and when you find a place to stay, stay there. For years, I found these directions very curious. I found them curious because it looked like Jesus was sending these sheep out before wolves without any protection. He was sending these people out with nothing, while today we seek modern equipment and technology to share the gospel all the time. It appears to me Jesus was putting these 70 at a tremendous disadvantage. No rod, no money, no protection, no clothes. He's setting them up to fail. But over the years, I have gotten to think finally and see how Jesus was telling the 70 not to be dependent upon themselves or what they carried, but rather to be dependent upon God. Allow God to work through you. Be faithful to God, and God will be faithful to you. It is not you who do these things, it is God who does these things through you. We need to consult with God more. We need to be listening for God more in our lives. Not to depend on our own talents, our own abilities, but rather to look to God and how God will work through us to serve. Like Jesus, Joshua was able to turn a bad situation into a good situation. Jesus died on the cross. We know it. And God was able to work through Jesus, resurrect him on the third day, and show all people for all time that God is in control, that love is stronger than hate, that God can do everything and even rise up over death. For Joshua, he finally realized he'd made a mistake. He'd made a deal with people who had tricked him. He learned he'd been tricked. He learned why he had made this deal. The people were afraid of him. They were afraid now that they've been discovered, Joshua would be inclined to kill them even more. But Joshua knew he had made a promise. Joshua knew that it would be important for him to stand by this promise and not hurt these people in the least. And so he told them, "I'm going to stand by my promise. We are not going to hurt you, but you may live among us. You may continue to live among us and on our borders, but you are going to gather wood each day. You are going to gather water for our homes. And instead of just living freely among us, you are going to serve us." Joshua knew how to turn a bad decision into a good one, that the Israelites might be served by these tricky neighbors. Do you know anyone, that needs to consult with God today? I know we've all heard the cliche, and it has become a cliche, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Boy, that's easy to say. I could even say it again, you know? But it demonstrates something much easier to say than to do, because for many of us, when trouble comes, it comes. It knocks us down. It keeps us from getting back up. And it makes us so down, it's hard to make anything out of these lemons. Well, earlier we heard from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul also wrote a letter to Timothy, a young missionary. And Paul wrote to Timothy, "The Spirit of God does not make us timid or weak, but rather the Spirit of God makes us powerful, makes us loving, and gives us all self-control." We cannot be defeated by anyone and their tricks. We cannot be made fools of by anyone except ourselves. We don't know exactly why Paul wrote to Timothy this day, what need Timothy had to hear from Paul, but it is thought that Timothy had been sent on a mission, and it was not going well, and that maybe Timothy had to give it up. He was feeling so defeated, he needed to leave the mission and come back and be with Paul. Paul would have nothing of it. And instead, Paul told Timothy, "Jesus, the Spirit of God, makes us strong." He reminds us how the Holy Spirit makes us strong and powerful. And when we are with God, we are powerful beings. Do you need to consult with God? So on this day, as we listen to words from Joshua, I want to send us out to say, do not depend upon your own strength, your own wisdom. Consult often with God. give time to prayer, and then give more time to prayer, and then listen for God. I believe God has given us a church that you and I are a part of here, a community that is the body of Christ on earth, and it is one of the bright spots in our world, and you and I are a part of it. And before we lead God's church, we need to lead our lives toward God. We need to lead our lives ever in consultation with God, and then together and by ourselves, we can overcome all things. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we are grateful this day, grateful for this story from Joshua, and that a great man like Joshua could fail from time to time. And as he learned from his failure, may we too learn from his failure and to make our lives better in consultation with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.